مبلغ for you is my prayer. مبلغ for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success, share success.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Please recite after me. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear Islamic brothers, respectable elders, honorable youngsters, viewers of Madni channel. According to one narration, it is mentioned, من صلى علي في يوم مئة مرة. Whosoever sends salutations upon me in a day 100 times, قَضَى اللَّهُ لَهُ مِئَةَ حَاجَةٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill 100 of his needs. سَبْعِينَ مِنْهَا لِآخِرَتِهِ. 70 of his needs for the hereafter. وَثَلَاثِينَ مِنْهَا لِدُنْيَاهُ. And 30 needs for this world. So when we recite, send peace and blessings upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, how merciful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Muslims that He fulfills their needs, their desires, their wishes, their supplications, their requests, 70 which are linked to the hereafter and 30 which are linked to this world. If only we make this mindset and we make this habit of ours on a daily basis, that we will send peace and blessings, durud-e paak upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 100 times every single day. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all the ability. With love and affection, let's recite durud upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Viewers of Madni channel, today the topic of my bayan is a very, very important one. Who are the most noble in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who are the most honorable and praiseworthy in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the criteria of being the most honorable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To begin with, I want to mention a story which is mentioned in Uyun al-Hikayat. Sayyidina Khuld bin Ayyub radiyallahu ta'ala, and he states there was a worshipper from Bani Israel. And he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 60 years on top of a mountain alone. One night, he had a dream. And in his dream, he receives a message. Someone is saying to him, so and so cobbler, cobbler means a shoemaker, more beloved to Allah than you. And he has higher rank in the court of Allah, higher than yours. So he wakes up from this dream, and he doesn't think much of it. So he just ignores it, thinking it was just a dream. Sometime later, he has a similar dream. And again, it's being said to him that so-and-so cobbler is greater than you. He's far more superior to you. Again, he didn't pay much attention. Sometime later, he saw this dream for a third time. And in the dream, he sees and he's being told the very same message, that so-and-so cobbler, so-and-so shoemaker is more greater than you. He has a higher rank in the court of Allah, higher than yours. So he descended from this mountain and he goes to meet and find this cobbler. When he finds this cobbler, what does this cobbler do, the shoemaker? He sees this worshipper who's been worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 60 years on top of the mountain. Now this cobbler, he didn't have no arrogance inside him. He was a humble person. He had humility inside him. He was a pious person. What did he do when he saw this worshipper? He stood up out of respect and he kissed the hands of the worshipper. And he asked him, what has caused you to leave your mountain and descend from the mountain? And the worshipper replied, I'm here because of you. I have been seeing dreams, and in these dreams I've been given messages that you have a higher rank than me. So which action is there that you do, and due to that action, you have a higher rank in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, higher than mine. So initially, he refused to say anything. He didn't want to reveal his good actions. He didn't want to reveal his good deeds. But then he kept on insisting. So he says to him, he said, I don't have anything special. I only do two things. Maybe it's because of this that I have a high rank in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what were those two actions? He said, I spend the entire day earning lawful sustenance, halal sustenance, and I avoid haram sustenance. This is the first thing. And then he says, with that sustenance, I split it into two, and half of it, I give it in the way of Allah, sadqa, subhanallah. And he says, the other half, I spend it on my family and my relatives. He says, this is the first thing. And the second thing that I do is I observe lots of voluntary fasts. I stay hungry for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And apart from these actions, I don't have any other virtuous actions that I could think of. So the worshipper heard these words of his, and he left, and when he went back to his mountain. Sometime later, this worshipper, again, he has a dream. And now, this time in his dream, the worshipper is being told, go back to the shoemaker, go back to the cobbler, and ask him what he fears so much that his face has turned yellow. Ask him, why has his face turned yellow? What is it that you fear? So again, this worshipper, he descends from the mountain, and he goes to meet this shoemaker, this cobbler, and he asks him, he says, why is your face yellow? What do you fear? And this cobbler, the shoemaker, responded and said, listen to this very carefully, and imagine he's telling me and you this. He says, whenever I see someone, I always think that that person is better than me. Subhanallah. Whenever I see anybody, I consider that person worthy of paradise and myself worthy of the hellfire. I consider myself to be the lowest of people, and I consider everybody else to be higher than me, have a higher rank in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, I fear hell, I fear Jahannam every single time, and this is the reason why my face has turned yellow. Allahu Akbar. This worshipper, he listened to his words and he went back to his mountain. From this, Sayyiduna Khuld bin Ayyub, after mentioning this parable, this story, he says, why was this cobbler granted a higher status than such an individual who worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the top of a mountain for not 1 year, not 2 years, not 10 years, for 60 years alone? But yet even then the shoemaker, the simple shoemaker, he had a higher maqam, higher rank, far superior than that worshipper in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was the reason? Sayyidina Abdullah bin Khuld bin Ayyub, he explains, and he says the reason was because he would think of himself as inferior, as the lowest of people, and he would consider everybody else to be superior and more better than him and worthy of paradise. So it was his humbleness, and it was his humility, it was his taqwa, it was his righteousness, it was his piety that made him have this great maqam, this great rank, this great status in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He turned away from the pleasures of this world. He would worship Allah abundantly. He had humility. He would consider others to be better than himself. He would observe fasts, and he would give charity, and he would earn from permissible sources. All of these things that I've just mentioned were the traits of that cobbler. And it was because of all of these traits, all of these habits and practices, that he had a higher maqam, a higher rank, a higher status in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But unfortunately, let's just ponder for a moment. Let's just pause here for a moment. What is our understanding of who is the most honorable? Who is the most praiseworthy? Who is the greatest in society? Today, we have set standards which are contrary to the Quran and Sunnah. Today, someone to us has a great rank. Why? Because he's wealthy. Someone has a higher rank because he has a better job. Someone who's got a better phone. Someone who's got flashy cars. Someone who wears, you know, extravagant clothing. For us, we look up to him thinking this person is way more better than everybody. This is the standard that we have unfortunately set in society. We see somebody's got white skin, fair skin, and he's better than the dark skin person. Someone's got a better lineage, a better nasab, a better hasab. So we think he's more better. Someone's from a better caste, so he's more better. And someone's from a lower caste, he's not so good. Unfortunately, these are the standards that we as Muslims have started to set for ourselves to weigh and to observe people, to consider who is more better and who is less better. But this is not the way the Quran teaches us. What does the Quran teach us? The Quran says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in part 26 of the Quran, 13th ayah of Surah Al-Hujurat, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى. O mankind, indeed we have created you from one single man and one single woman. وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا. And we have made you into tribes and groups. لتعارفوا, so that you may recognize one another. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Indeed, verily, the most honorable, the most righteous in the sight of Allah from amongst you is the one who is the most pious from amongst you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. Indeed, Allah is all-knowing and all-aware. So my dear Islamic brothers, from this verse, what do we learn? Well, first, let's listen to the reason of revelation. Why was this verse revealed in the Quran? It's mentioned in the commentaries of the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he once went to the markets of Medina and he witnessed a slave. And this slave, he says, whosoever purchases me, don't stop me from praying behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So a man purchased this slave and suddenly this slave, he fell ill. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam went to visit him and he passed away. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam participated in his janazah, in his burial. When the people saw that this person was a slave and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam went to visit him, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam participated in his janazah, in his burial, they were amazed and astonished and kind of taken back and surprised that this is a slave and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is giving so much honor to this person. So much care and attention to this person. So much consideration to this person. When people were surprised and taken back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse of the Quran, which I have just recited before you. Let's listen to the translation again. O people, we have indeed created you from one man and one woman and have made you into various nations and tribes that you may recognize one another. Indeed, listen to this very carefully. Allah says, indeed, the most honorable amongst you, according to Allah, is the one who is the most pious amongst you. Indeed, Allah is all-knowing and all-aware. So, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali commentates on this verse. And he says, the roots of all humans is Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam and Sayyidatuna Hawa radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And they were made from soil, mitti. So that means everybody, every human's origin is mitti. So when our origin is mitti and we all go back to the same mother and father in humanity, then why are you arrogant? Why do you boast? Why do you dispute with one another over lineages? Why do you consider other people inferior and you yourself as superior? Humans have been made into different nations and tribes. Why? So they can know one another. Not that they can boast over one another or sneer and snigger at one another. So Mufti Tab explains the purpose why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran. Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam stated, on the day of judgment, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, people will be made to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And their stay will be such that they will be uncircumcised. Allah will say to them, O my people, I gave you instructions and commandments, but you ignored them. You wasted them. Allah will say, I elevated your lineage, but you were arrogant about this. You were boastful about this. Allah says on that day, today I am declaring your lineage to be low, humiliated and disgraced. Allah will say, I am the ruler who gives retribution. And what will Allah say on that day? Listen to this very carefully. Where are the righteous? Certainly, the most honorable amongst you in the sight of Allah are those who are the most pious people. Allah will say this on the Day of Judgment. Not the one who's got the best lineage, the best looks and appearance in the world, the one that had the best houses and mansions in the world. No, no. Where are the righteous? Where are the righteous? Allah will call out this on the Day of Judgment. So we learn from this and the verse of the Quran that in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most honorable person, the most praiseworthy and the most noble and the most righteous in the sight of Allah, according to Allah, is the one who has the most taqwa. Is the one who has the most piety, the most pious. He is God-fearing, God-conscious. He fears Allah. And these people on the Day of Judgment, subhanallah, what protocol will they be given? What reward will they be given? How will they be received on the Day of Judgment? The muttaqeen. Allah mentions them in the Quran. And He says, in Surah Maryam, verse 85, Allah says, يَوْمَ نَحْشُرُ الْمُتَّقِينَ إِلَى الرَّحْمَنِ وَفْدًا. On that day, we will resurrect, we will gather the muttaqeen, the pious people, the righteous people, إِلَى الرَّحْمَنِ, to Rahman. Say subhanAllah. We will gather them. To who? To Rahman. Wafda, as guests. SubhanAllah. They will be the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. This is the rank that they will be given on the Day of Judgment. They may live in simple houses in this world. Simple houses. But on the Day of Judgment and in Jannah, they will be living in lofty mansions. They will be living in big massive palaces. They may be simple in the dunya, but their reward in the akhirah is far more greater. And this is what reward Allah will give to those who have taqwa. And in another place of the Quran, Allah says, وَلَدَارُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٍ. The house of the hereafter is more better. Allah didn't say this dunya. Allah said, آخِرَةِ وَلَدَارُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٍ. The abode, the house of the hereafter is more better. وَلَنِعْمَ دَارُ الْمُتَّقِينَ. And what a definitely excellent final home for the pious people. How beautiful are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What great reward and protocol will these people be given? You know, in reality, in real life, in this world, they may be those type of simple people. They may be shunned by society. People ignore them. The rich people don't even look towards them. But they are those people who obey the commands of Allah. They make their prayers. They observe fast. They earn halal wealth. And they feed others with it. And they fear Allah. They act upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They protect their eyes. They protect their hearts. They perform good actions. And these people on the Day of Judgment will be given such a protocol and such a rank on the Day of Judgment. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the virtue, the reward of knowledge is greater than the reward of worship. When you have knowledge, this is greater than worship. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam further said, the best thing from your religion is piety. The best thing from your religion is piety. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in one narration, in Sahih Bukhari, this hadith has been mentioned. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was asked, man akramun nasi, who is the most honorable of people? Who is the most noble of people? Qal, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, atqahum, the most pious from amongst them. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly told us the criteria of how to work out who is the most honorable person in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the one who has the most taqwa. The words of the Quran say the same, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, atqahum, the most pious from amongst them, the most righteous from amongst them. So if we want to be more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we want to be more nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we want to be more honorable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must increase in piety. We must possess taqwa. We must be from the muttaqeen. And inshallah, further on in the bayan, we're going to learn what is taqwa. How do we attain taqwa? What is the definition of taqwa? If we want to be from the muttaqeen, we need to learn the definition of taqwa so we know that we can act upon that definition in order for us to be from the muttaqeen. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he said, Abu Dharr Ghifari radiyallahu ta'ala an, he says to him, you are not better than someone who is black or red. except that you may be greater than him in piety. It's not about the color, it's not about the lineage, it's not about how much wealth he has, it's not about his beauty, it's not about his age, it's not about his family, it's not about how well spoken he is. None of these things matter. The Prophet said, you are not better than someone who is black or red. Doesn't matter if he's black, you're not better than him, except that you may be greater than him in piety. Subhanallah. Look at the wise words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And Mufti Ahmad Ya Khan rahmatullahi alayhi, he explains this hadith further and he gives a beautiful example. He says, imagine a dark-skinned believer, and imagine a light-skinned disbeliever. Mufti Ahmad Ya Khan Naimi, he gives an example and he says, the dark-skinned believer is thousands of times, millions of times more superior than the light-skinned disbeliever. Because he's got iman. And he doesn't have iman. It's not about the color. And then he further says, a dark-skinned believer is millions of times better than a light-skinned sinner. He may be light-skinned, but if he's a sinner, he may be a Muslim, but he's light-skinned and he's a sinner, then that dark-skinned believer, pious person, is way more better than him. Because the criteria of being better is not the color of your skin. It's not your lineage. It's not your caste. It's not your knowledge. It's your taqwa. It's your piety. And that is the criteria that the Quran has set for us. And that is the criteria given to us by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And such taqwa is such a thing. And who is more muttaqi? Who possessed more taqwa than the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam? And from amongst the prophets, who possessed more taqwa than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam? Nobody. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the epitome of taqwa. Even then, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam would do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he would ask for taqwa and piety. That was to teach me and you. This was to teach the ummah. So my brothers who are sitting here, dear viewers of Madni Channel watching at home, we learned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for piety. When was the last time we asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in piety? We say, Ya Allah, give us more wealth. We say, Ya Allah, give us more children. We say, Ya Allah, give us more houses. Ya Allah, make this matter easy for us. All of these things are fine. But when was the last time we asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in piety? Sayyiduna Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu reports from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make the following dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa-t-tuqa wa-l-afafa wa-l-ghina. Which means, oh Allah, I ask you for guidance, piety, chastity and richness. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala, he explains this hadith. He says, the first thing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for was guidance. So what does guidance mean here? He says, guidance here means the correct beliefs. So when you're doing dua for guidance, you're asking Allah, Ya Allah, bless me with correct beliefs. And then, the second thing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did dua for was piety. And Mufti Sahab says, piety refers to good deeds. And then the third thing, chastity. This means refraining from evil. Staying away from evil. And the fourth thing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did dua for in this supplication was richness, ghina. And here, Mufti Sahab says, what does richness mean? Richness mean here? It means not being dependent upon the creation, only upon Allah and His Messenger. So this is such a complete, concise dua. We should try to learn this dua. And if you can't remember it, remember the words in English. Oh Allah, bless us and give to us guidance, piety, chastity and richness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to do this dua on a daily basis. My dear Islamic brothers, these people I was mentioning, the righteous people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who possessed the most taqwa, the muttaqeen, they fear Allah all the time. They are so, you know, beloved in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if they want, when they say anything from their mouth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that thing come true. Whatever they ask for in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts their request and pleads straight away. It's mentioned, Sayyiduna Dawood bin Rashid rahmatullahi alayhi states, there were two young worshippers who lived in Syria. They were known for their piety, righteousness, and their abundance of worship. They were devout worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their names were Sabih and Malih. And they relate an incident. They say that one day, they experienced extreme hunger, and they decided that let's go to the desert and let's go teach people rulings of Islam so we can ponder over our hereafter. So they went towards the desert and they met a dark-skinned man. This dark-skinned man, he had a bundle of wood and he was carrying it on his head. So the two young worshippers said to him, they asked him, "Who is your Lord?" And what he did was he placed the bundle of wood on the floor. This dark-skinned man, he sat on it out of simplicity. And what did he say? He said, "Don't ask me who my Lord is. Rather ask me in which corner of my heart faith is." It was a very spiritual answer. When they heard these spiritual words, they looked at one another and they were surprised and they became silent. So he says to them, "Why are you silent? You are students of knowledge, so ask me." But they were silent. So he spoke of himself and he started speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he says in the court of Allah, this dark-skinned man who was carrying the bundle of wood on his head, he says, "Oh my Lord, you are well aware that there are such people whom you give to whenever they ask. My Lord, turn these pieces of wood into gold." He says, as soon as he uttered these words, the pieces of wood had turned into gold. These youngsters, they were gobsmacked. They were astonished. They realized that this is no ordinary person. This is a person who is so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, he may be dark-skinned. He may look simple. He may be carrying a bundle of wood on his head and now he's sitting on them in simplicity. But this person has a greater rank than us in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so that he just said to Allah, he asked Allah, "Oh Allah, turn these pieces of wood into gold." And immediately these pieces of wood were turned into gold. And then he supplicates this dark-skinned man. He says, "Oh my Lord, indeed you favor those who don't desire fame. My Lord, turn this gold back into wood." And he says, as soon as he finished his request, the gold had turned back into wood. Look at the power of these people. Look how quick Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts their requests, their du'as, their pleas. This is because they have such a maqam, such a rank, such a martaba, such a status in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is it that gives them this status? What is it that gives them this rank? It's their taqwa. It's their piety. And again we learn that piety is the measure. Piety is the criteria of being the most closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being the most righteous in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being the most praiseworthy in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being the most honorable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we want to be the most honorable, or try to be from those who are the most honorable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must possess taqwa. We must possess piety. We need to increase ourselves in piety. And this is why our Sufis and our Shaykhs and the Awliya Allah, whenever they would have their disciples, they would give more preference to those disciples, those murids who possess the greatest taqwa. It says in Ihya al-Ulum, Imam Ghazali says that there was a Sufi and he had a young murid, a young disciple. He had other disciples, but he was more favorable towards this young one. So the other disciples, they asked, "Oh Shaykh, you give more respect to this young man, even though we are older." So the Sufi, the Shaykh, what did he do? He put them to a test. He asked for some birds, and he gave each bird to each disciple, and he gave all of them a knife. And he also gave it to the young disciple as well. And what he said to them, he instructed them, he says, "Slaughter this bird in a place where nobody can see you." So they all went, and each one of them returned, and they had slaughtered the bird. And when the young man, he came back, he still had the bird in his hand, and the bird was still alive. And the Sufi asked him, in front of the rest of the disciples, well, why did you slaughter the bird like the rest of the disciples? And look at his response. Look at his reply. The young man replied, I could not find a place where I was completely hidden, for Allah Almighty is always watching me in every place. When the other disciples saw the level of taqwa and piety of this young disciple, they all accepted and said, you are undoubtedly deserving of more honor and more respect from the Shaykh. Why? It's because he had taqwa. He knew that there's no place on earth that you can go to. There's no corner on this earth where you can go and hide and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can't see you. Because nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was his taqwa. It was his piety. And that's why he was preferred by his sheikh. And there was more favor from his sheikh towards him. Similarly, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he tells us, what are the signs of the pious people? How do you recognize who is a pious person? Is it old age? Is it beauty? Is it outward cleanliness? Is it to be highly educated and have the best of degrees? Is it to possess an awe-striking demeanor? Is it possessing wealth? Owning multiple houses? Is it owning an expensive mobile phone? Wearing the best of clothes? Being well-spoken? What is it? Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says, without a doubt, the people closest to Allah on the Day of Judgment will be the ones who stayed hungry, thirsty, and sorrowful for long periods of time. In this world, what are their signs? How do you recognize someone? He says, in this world, these are the people who in the eyes of public, they are hidden and they are pious. Such that if they were present, nobody would recognize them. And if they were absent, nobody would go look for them and search for them. But the pieces of earth recognize them. The angels surround them. People are satisfied by the world. And these people are pleased when they obey Allah Almighty. Others sleep on comfy beds, whereas they spend their nights in sujood. Some turn away from the practices and the lifestyles of the prophets. But these individuals preserve their practices. When one of them passes away, the earth cries and Allah's wrath and anger is upon the city in which there is none of these people present. These are the signs of the pious people. He further says, their hair is disheveled and unkempt. Their faces are dusty. They wear old clothes. People look at them and think as they are unwell, but they are not. When people look at them, they think they are strange and they are secluded from the rest of the world and they have a backward mentality and they have a mental illness that has caused them to lose their minds. Whereas in reality, they have not gone mad. Imam Ghazali further says, rather, they have pondered about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they have abandoned the love of this dunya and the dunya itself. According to the people of this world, these people have lost their minds, but these people on the Day of Judgment will have sound minds when the minds of other people will be lost. These are the signs Imam Ghazali is saying to us, who are the righteous people. And then he further says, Allah Almighty does not punish the group of people that they are amongst. The earth is happy with them and Allah is pleased with them. So take them as your brothers, for the day is near when you will attain salvation through their mediation. These are the signs of the pious people. You might not know, so might look so simple. Never judge a book by its cover. He may be so simple. He may be soft-spoken. He may be shy and timid. He may be reserved, but he may be a wali of Allah. He may look unkempt. His face may be dusty. He may not be the most beautiful or the best of speakers. But he may be the most closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the signs of the pious people. So my dear Islamic brothers, we learn today that if we want to understand how to be the most honorable and the most noble in the sight of Allah, it is taqwa that is the criteria. So what is taqwa? How do we possess this beautiful trait of taqwa? We need to learn what taqwa is. So the meaning of taqwa is to protect oneself from something harmful. And in terms of sharia, listen to this very carefully. It means to protect oneself from any action that a person deserves to be punished for doing or not doing. For example, avoiding disbelief, kufr. To avoid kufr, this is taqwa. To avoid shirk, this is taqwa. To avoid major sins, this is piety. To avoid minor sins, this is piety. To protect yourself from immoral acts, this is piety. Leaving that which is forbidden and doubtful, this is piety. And fulfilling the obligations of the religion, of the deen, this is piety. And the ulama have given another definition of taqwa, which is so precise, so concise, and so beautiful. They say taqwa, and even if you can just understand this and take back this with us from today's lesson, from today's speech, taqwa is that your Lord does not find you where He has prohibited you from. How beautiful is that definition? Taqwa is that thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not find you anywhere near all of those things which He has prohibited for you. So alcohol, zina, interest, gambling, films, dramas, listen to music, disbelief, shirk, major sins, minor sins, slandering, backbiting, telling tales, all of these things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited us from, to stay away from all of these, far away, this is taqwa. This is piety. And in order for us to increase this piety, we must attach ourselves to a good environment. We must have a good company. We must have a good circle around us. We must hang around and associate ourselves with pious people. And one beautiful way is to affiliate ourselves with the environment of Dawat Islam. When we affiliate ourselves with Dawat Islami, when we affiliate ourselves with the Islamic brothers who have the mindset, who have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who offer their salah, then no doubt because of hanging around them and associating ourselves with them, that will have an effect on us. And this is why Amiri Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah, the founder of Dawat Islami, he has given us a booklet. This booklet has questions and answers. In this, we fill it on a daily basis. And there are different questions for us to ask ourselves. For example, there's one question in there. Whilst walking or traveling in a car or a bus today, did you protect yourself from useless gazing by keeping your gaze lowered? Moreover, did you prevent yourself from looking here and there unnecessarily? So this is one example. Now, if you were to fill this in every single day and try to act upon this, protect our eyes from looking towards haram, this will increase our taqwa. This will increase our piety. And if we can increase our piety, then that means that we will be more honorable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He blesses us with piety. He blesses us with taqwa. He makes us from the muttaqeen. He makes us from the God-fearing people. He makes us from those people who fear Him. Whenever any thought or whisper from the shaitan comes into our mind about doing any sin, we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we stop and we don't go towards that sin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our piety, increase our taqwa inside our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me if I made any mistakes in my bayan. Wa ma alayya illa al-balaghu al-mubin.
O Muballigh, for you it's mine.